It seemed to Burton not that Collip didn't care what Goering had been, but that he didn't believe his story of earthly glory and infamy. There were so many phonies that genuine heroes or villains had been depreciated. Thus Burton had met 3 Jesus Christs, 2 Abrahams, 4 King Richard the Lionhearted, 6 Attilas, 12 Judases, only one of whom could speak Aramaic, 1 George Washington, 2 Lord Byrons, 3 Jesse Jameses, any number of Napoleons, 1 General Custer, who spoke with a heavy Yorkshire accent, 1 Finn McCool, who didn't know ancient Irish, 1 Chaka, who spoke the wrong Zulu dialect, and a number of others who might or might not have been what they claimed to be. Whatever a man had been on earth, he had to re-establish himself here. This wasn't easy, because conditions were radically altered. The greats and the importance of Terra were constantly being humiliated in their claims and denied a chance to prove their identities. To Collip, the humiliation was a blessing. First humiliation, then humility, he would have said, and then comes humanity, as a matter of course. Goering had been trapped in the great design, as Burton termed it, because it was his nature to overindulge, especially with drugs. Knowing that the dream gum was uprooting the dark things in his personal abyss, was spewing them up into the light, that he was being torn apart, fragmented, he still continued to chew as much as he could get. For a while, temporarily made healthful again with a new resurrection, he had been able to deny the call of the drug. But a few weeks after his arrival in this area, he had succumbed, and now the night was ripped apart with his shrieks of, "Hermann Goering, I hate you." "If this continues," Burton said to Collip, "he will go mad, or he will kill himself again or force someone to kill him so that he can get away from himself. But the suicide will be useless, and it's all to do over again. Tell me truly now, is this not hell?"
"Purgatory, rather," Collip said. "Purgatory is hell with hope."
Chapter 24. 2 months passed. Burton marked the days off on a pine stick notched with a flint knife. This was the 14th day of the 7th month of 5 AR, the 5th year after the resurrection. Burton tried to keep a calendar, for he was, among many other things, a chronicler, but it was difficult. Time didn't mean much on the river. The planet had a polar axis that was always at 90 degrees to the ecliptic. There was no change of seasons, and the stars seemed to jostle each other and made identification of individual luminaries or of constellations impossible. So many, and so bright were they, that even the noonday sun at its zenith could not entirely dim the greatest of them. Like ghosts, reluctant to retreat before daylight, they hovered in the burning air. Nevertheless, man needs time as a fish needs water. If he doesn't have it, he will invent it. So, to Burton, it was July 14th, 5 AR. But Collip, like many, reckoned time as having continued from the year of his terrestrial death. To him it was A.D. 1667. He didn't believe that his sweet Jesus had become sour. Rather, this river was the River Jordan, this valley the veil beyond the shadow of death. He admitted that the afterlife was not that which he had expected, yet it was evidence of the all-encompassing love of God for his creation. He had given all men, altogether undeserving of such a gift, another chance. If this world was not the New Jerusalem, it was a place prepared for its building. Here the bricks, which were the love of God, and the mortar, love for man, must be fashioned in this kiln and this mill, the planet of the river of the valley. Burton pooh-poohed this concept, but he couldn't help loving the little man. Collip was genuine. He was not stoking the furnace of his sweetness with leaves from a book or pages from a theology. He didn't operate under forced draft. He burned with a flame that fed on his own being, and this being was love. Love, even for the unlovable, the rarest and most difficult species of love. He told Burton something of this terrestrial life. He had been a doctor, a farmer, a liberal with unshakable faith in his religion, yet full of questions about his faith and the society of his time. He had written a plea for religious tolerance which had aroused both praise and damnation in his time, and he had been a poet, well known for a short time, then forgotten. Lord, let the faithless see miracles ceased, revive in me. The leper cleansed, blind healed, dead raised by thee.